So I want to introduce you to one of my heroes. And I love to talk about this guy, Billy Bray. If you've got long memories, you may remember I did refer to him a bit when we were meeting down at Willowbrook. But this guy, I find he's a hero. He's Cornish. He spent his entire life in Cornwall and in Devon. So he's relatively local to us. He achieved a huge amount for the Lord Jesus because he was really going for God. But I want you to remember, he was doing that whilst being in full-time secular work, very arduous work. He was a miner from the age of 17 into his mid-60s, I believe. And so everything else was done on top of that. And he wasn't a highly educated guy, a very simple fellow. He had more education than some of the kids at the time in that he could read and write. But he was really going for God. Lived his whole life in relative poverty. I'm not talking about destitution here, but sometimes wondering where the next meal would come from. And if we had time, there's loads of stories of God's miraculous provision. So, Billy Bray, he was born on June the 1st in 1974, and he was born in that place called 1794, and you see Truro and Redruth on that map and Falmouth in the bottom, so that's the area where he was born and started doing a lot of this stuff that we should be hearing about. Bear in mind, Gwynap, 12 Heads is where he was born. Kirley Downs, we should be visiting. And Baldu is where he was baptized, as we should see there. And he was also buried there. You can still see his grave there. But his father died when Billy was just 8 years old, and he went to live with his grandfather. Now, his grandfather was illiterate, but he had been converted under John Wesley. Now, Billy is born about 5 years after Wesley's death. So his grandfather was converted under John Wesley and was able to tell Billy things like about you needing to be born again. He couldn't read or write, but he told him. He was converted, as I say, under John Wesley. I like to think it could have been here. We do know it was in an open-air meeting, but this is Gwynap Pit. Anybody ever been to Gwynap Pit? Well, listen, if the next time you go to Cornwall, if you can drag yourself away from the beach, visit Gwynap Pit. There's a lot of memorabilia there about John Wesley. He preached there 18 times and on one occasion had a crowd of well over 20,000 people. And it wasn't, in his day, it wasn't a landscape like this, but it was a big pit made because of collapsing mine works. And well, he may or may not have been converted in Gwynap Pit, but it was certainly under John Wesley, and he was involved in building his grandfather, the church in 12 Heads where they lived. So Billy left home at 17 and went to work at a mine in Tavistock, just down the road in Tavistock there. And worked in the mine for a long time, and he began to lead an extremely wild and drunken life as he got away from home. He actually fell out with the mine captain, as they called them that time, and got the sack and had to find a job in a second mine just close by, still in Devon. But he was a guy who was a very much a life and soul of the party type. He was full of bad jokes, and by bad jokes, I don't mean sad jokes. I mean really bad jokes. He was known for it, and extremely blasphemous, so much so that even some of his godless workmates were shocked by him and his behavior. He was as far away from God as you were likely to get. And he twice narrowly escaped imprisonment because of getting into brawls and this type of thing, but 7 years later returned back to Cornwall and back to 12 Heads. And I don't know where the heading's gone. Oh, yes, that's right. Sorry, I'm looking at a slide beyond. So when he got back to Cornwall, he married somebody called Joey, and they had seven children. Those are doing the sheets. But it's often referred to as five children. We presume two had died young, and mortality rate very high in those days, of course. And he found work as a tin miner, but continued to live an extremely debauched and drunken life. Joey herself was a backslidden Christian, but often had to go down to the alehouse to drag him back, paralytic. He was terrible. Spent most of his miner's wages on drink, leaving the family short, and always had a huge binge on Friday, which was payday with all his mates, and was ended up paralytic. But let's get on to something more interesting, which is Billy's conversion. And I want to stop here just for a second, because there are times when I like to stop and pray for all the kids that have grown up in this church over the last 50 years, many of them serving God wonderfully, but quite a few who've gone away from God. And there are parents here this morning, or grandparents, and children not walking with God, and they're very sad, almost grieving about it. This guy was as far away from God as he could get. So don't give up praying. I pray for him to this day. I pray for some, certainly that people, they will come back to God, the seeds that were planted when they were young. Don't give up praying. Don't give up believing. God can bring them back, if he could bring Billy Bray back. Anyway, because early in Tavistock, there had been a roof collapse. And accidentally, very narrowly escaped death. The mortality rate in the rates in the mines in those days were absolutely staggering. It was a very dangerous job to be in. Very narrowly escaped death. He was shaken. He said, "I know I would have gone to hell if I'd been killed." Don't talk about that too much these days, but he'd obviously been taught that by his granddad. But he still did nothing about it. But then in November 1823, a copy of John Bunyan's Visions of Heaven and Hell was brought to the house. Who brought it there? I do not know. Bless the Lord for sending it there, he said, Billy Bray. And then he came under deep conviction, and he began to seek God. Some of us evangelicals find this quite hard to understand, because we say, look, come to God, confess your sins, receive him into your life, and wow, woo, you're born again. But you often see this in revivals. He began to seek God on Friday evening. He took a Bible, and interestingly, Wesley's hymn book, and just cried out to God, went to work, came back crying out to God. And it wasn't till the Wednesday that he suddenly had breakthrough, and he found peace, and he began to dance and for joy and sing. I was a completely new man, he said. It was wonderful. And he said he never drank from that day to when he was writing the memoirs, I don't know, 40 or 50 years later. And suddenly, just wonderful what God did for him. So let's look at Billy Bray, because for the first year of his life at work in the arduous conditions in the mines, he spent the whole first year testifying in the mine. When I was converted, the Lord gave me power to tell all that I met, that I was happy. And this was his expression. When he said, "I saw someone that was happy," he meant he'd seen somebody who was a genuine born-again Christian. That was his expression. "I meant that I was happy and I was going to heaven. I told them what the Lord had done for me and would do for everyone who asked him." And bearing in mind that I've told you how dangerous it was working in the mine, this is when he would pray for those in the mine. "I would pray for them. I used to say when praising God, if anyone must be killed or die today, let it be me. Well, they're not happy, but I am, and I shall be in heaven if I die today. When I did rise from my knees, I should see the tears running down their faces. Soon after, some of them became praying men themselves." Now, that's not bad for a first year getting saved, is it? I mean, absolutely so overflowing with the love of God. And while I'm talking about being at work, I want to tell you one other story. This is much, much later in 1848. And by this time, he's been given a job on the surface. And in that time, a large amount of the workforce in the mines were children. Children as young as seven. Boys and girls would work at the mine. You had to be, I believe I'm right in saying 13 or was it 14 before you went down the mine. But many, many children worked in the mine, as they do today, by the way, in places like the Congo. And this is what he says. In 1848, at St. Neot, a mine called Wheel Sisters, I believe that was near Liscard, I was what they called a dressing captain. And looking to the boys and the maidens, there was about 50 of them in that mine, to keep them to work. In other words, you put in charge of all these kids, making them work, you know. And this was a particularly stormy day, a violent storm, which do sometimes get in Cornwall, don't you? But this violent storm turned, they became a whirlwind came rushing down. And shrubs being torn out of the hedges. One of the sheds they had just down from where they were at the time collapsed under this whirlwind, and it was heading straight to them. And this is what he said. The boys and girls fell down on their knees and cried for mercy. And the dear Lord had mercy on us and turned the whirlwind. And it was a means the Lord used to begin a revival. For many there were converted at that time. But what impressed me here, and actually challenged me a little bit, because I'm not working anymore. When I was working, I would pray for my staff. But to pray with them was, I was up... you know, so upfront about things. Well, the truth is, I wasn't. But he was all the time. He was being in the mind was part of his service for Jesus. So let's have a look, because preaching was what he became known for. And well, he began preaching about a year after his conversion. He was put on the preacher's plan, which is something the Methodists do, which means you're an approved preacher in the churches there. He preached mostly, but not exclusively, amongst the Bryanites. The Bryan was a guy, he was a Cornish guy, who at the time was in Shibir, just up from Hatherley, and fell out with the main Methodists for some reason and started a little faction. This saddened me slightly. This is probably less than 50 years since Wesley was down there seeing so many things, good things happening in Cornwall. And already by this time, there was three factions, the Bryanites, the Wesleyans, and the Free Methodists. And they did get back together in the 1900s. And I just thought, isn't it sad that we Christians are so quick to fall out with one another? I had messing about with Google. I said to Google, how many Christian denominations are in the world? And I was staggered to find out it was 25,000. How does that tie up with Lord, that they may be one? Just as we are one, that they may be one. Anyway, be that as it may, they called themselves the Bible Christians. They were a good bunch, I believe, too. He was a very entertaining teacher, this preacher, you know, life and soul of the party thing was able to translate into a much better cause. He would preach with a lot of wit and illustrations that people would come to. In fact, there were times when he thought he was overdoing it. People came to have a laugh rather than to really hear the word. But one little illustration on that, which I thought was quite interesting, was he was preaching in the open air to a big company, mostly of miners and their families. And it was well known that there were two mines in the area, very close by. One was on its last legs. One was extremely prosperous. In this mine, the wages were pretty poor. It was likely it wasn't going to last very long. This one was much more prosperous, and the wages were much better. So he took he pretended to be, he says, Lucy, I'm working in this mine, he says, and I've worked hard all week, and now it's payday. Oh, boy, I should have said, he's reflecting on the scripture, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And I've been working in this mine, and it's Friday, it's payday. I want to get my pay. So I come up out of the mine, but I got out of this mine. And I queue up there and say, can I have my wages, please? The guy said to me, you don't work in this mine. Yeah, I know, I work in that mine, but the wages are better here, and I want the wages that you pay. And he spun this out a little bit until the guy says, if you want the wages of this mine, you have got to work in this mine. And of course, the message came home to these miners, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Who are you going to work for? Which wages do you want? Because you've got to work for the Lord. I mean, there may be some theological question marks there, but, you know, lots of people came to know the Lord Jesus through that kind of stuff. And this is after one little bit of preaching he did. He said this, the Lord was with us. He tore a hole in Satan's kingdom. The Lord would give me power that I could leap for joy when I saw so many fall down and cry for mercy. We had 100 converted to God, and the revival went on. Bless his holy name. This was after the building of one of his chapels, which you'll look at shortly. And the biographer says, his preaching was effectual because he prayed much. I did consider praying because the time is limited, so you can't do everything. But let me just tell you one story about this praying. He was preaching at St. Neots, and he felt, and this is during the time he was building chapels, and he felt it right to go down to walk down to St. Ives. I went down to the Wesleyan church there. I thought they would give him, you know, a little bit of help for the chapels he was building. And they said, sorry, Billy, you've come at a bad time. The pilchard harvest has failed. We haven't caught hardly any pilchards for ages now, and people don't know where the next meal's coming from. It's a bad time. But in his own inimitable way, he said, actually, it was a good time because he called the people to prayer. And they all started seeking God. They prayed through to midnight. Didn't say when it started, but they were crying out to God, seeking God for a turn in the way the pilchard came. That night, the boats came in so full of pilchards, they could hardly carry them. Echoes of the story of Jesus, of course. And it was that totally remarkable, one of the best hauls of pilchards they've ever had. Because they sought God, and God answered their prayer, and he got a donation for his chapel. So he did good. So let's look at this chapel building. He would say, don't forget, people had to walk wherever they went. These days, you know, we want a church where you can drive 10 miles, it's fine. And he said, there were any amount of ale houses around. He actually became a teetotaler after this. After his earlier life. So there are so many alehouses, right? I know chapels, and people were getting saved. Where would they meet? They can walk a long way, as certainly he did. But so he wanted to build chapels. And it's quite remarkable, some of the stories about how God provided. This is the only one that exists today. This one built when it was first built, it was just two windows long, and they had to extend it because it was soon over full. It's called it was nicknamed the Three Eyes Chapel. And when I say he built it, I mean literally. And this is sometimes I have had blisters on my hands, and they have been very sore. But I didn't mind that. For if the chapel was to stand for 100 years and one soul was converted each year, that would be 100 souls, and that would pay me well. And he was got involved. He obviously had to employ the skilled masons and so on. And again, miraculous way that God provided that. And there were hundreds, almost certainly thousands of people got converted. In fact, that little story about the hundreds after it, I think, happened in this very chapel. Not absolutely sure about that. When he talked about, because there was a time when, because he refused to work on a Sunday, he lost his job, and he had a week before he got another job. Interestingly, back in the same mine, because they missed his quality of work so much. But he had a week when he had these meetings, and all these people started coming to know the Lord Jesus, crying out to God for mercy. Quite remarkable. And you can visit it today. So I did, and wondered if I could get a bit of the glory. Not sure that it worked. There you go. And so, yeah, it's down near Conan Down. You can go in there and visit it to this day. But here, it's coming towards the end. One of the things that Billy Bray was so well known for was his effervescent joy. Joy was almost always evident, even in adversity. And listen, this is not a guy who had an easy life. He's working 8, 10, 12 hours down the mines, meager wages, sometimes wondering where the next meal is coming from, finding it difficult to clothe the kids. This wasn't a guy who had an easy life. But he could always find joy in adversity. And he is so well known for some of his sayings. I can say glory, glory. I can sing glory, glory. I can dance glory, glory. And he said, if they were to put me in a barrel, I would shout glory out through the bunghole. And this reminds me of the scripture, all in his temple cry glory. And it's another thing, the devil would rather see us doubting than hear us shouting, by which he meant praising God. And again, this is one of his favorite scriptures. Let's sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. And again, people accuse him, oh, come on, you're over the top. He probably was, actually. But you're just a madman. But he said, I'm not a madman. But I was a glad man. The Lord made me, so bless his holy name. I remember another time he said, somebody was complaining, why do you make so much noise? Why don't you shut up? He said, listen, if you've got a jug of balls and the water is pouring it over and the water is being poured into it, do you tell off the balls or do you tell the person pouring out the water? If you want me to stop, tell them. So he was just full of joy, even in adversity. I can't help praising the Lord. As I go along the street, I lift up one foot and it seems to say glory. I lift up the other foot and it says amen. And I do like this little one because this wasn't a man who put on an act when he was at church and stuff. I like this story because it's quite amusing, but it's quite good because it happens in his own home. This is not something, this is something when he's home privately. Bless the Lord. I get very happy at times. My soul gets full of glory. Then I dance too. I was at home in my room the other day and I got so happy that I danced and the glory came down on my soul. It made me dance so lustily. My foot went through the floorboards. And that's in the privacy of his own house. It's not just for the people living. And this is one of the scriptures that he lived by. And I deliberately put it here in the Authorized Version, which is what he would have been using, of course. It's the next scripture. Then the young women will dance and be glad. Young men and old as well will turn their mourning into gladness. And I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. That is another of his favorite verses. But the one I was going to show you, the one that he lived by, he loved this scripture from the Authorized. You haven't seen Jesus, but you love him. Believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. And that's the way Billy led his life, even through times of adversity. But I want to put in a little rider here because I was reading a bit about Mother Teresa the other day and you can other stories, who went through times when God seemed so absent that she didn't even know she was working amongst the kids, of course, in the slums of Calcutta. And she went through periods of time when God just didn't seem to be there and she had to really just break through. And I thought, we can't all be like Billy Bray. We won't all be like Billy Bray. When we go through tough times, sometimes, and I think it was kind of referred to earlier when Rich was saying that about, So the less good things that happen. But there are times when we need to break through the blackness, punch our way through and say, I don't understand what's going on, God. I don't like what's going on, God. But I'm going to rejoice in you anyway, because that's what you've asked us to do. Give thanks in all circumstances. And so it's something which I think is so good to know in our heart, because I know I need to stir myself up sometimes. I'm sometimes, you know, thinking, I ain't very joyful these days, am I? Got aches and pains and things aren't so good. I thought, yeah, but we believe and we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Well, there we come, coming to the end, because Billy Bray died on May the 28th in 1968. And just... Oh, well, I keep getting it wrong. Just before he died, he called a doctor down. He was obviously very unwell. He called this doctor to him and said, no, doctor, I called you in because they tell me you always tell me the truth. So the doctor examined him, and he said to the doctor, well, doctor, how is it? Well, Billy, you're going to die. And Billy said, oh, praise God, I'm going to die. I'm going to be with Jesus very soon. By the way, doctor, when I get there, can I give him your compliments and say you're coming too? The doctor said, it had a great impression on me, the doctor said. And then, you know, he was really more or less on his deathbed, and somebody said to him, Billy, do you fear death? What? Me fear death? When my Savior conquered death? Why? My Savior conquered death. Up to heaven I shall go, shouting, glory, glory, praise the Lord. And just after that, he uttered one last word, glory. And that's just where he went, to glory, because he was a man who had gone for God. And in spite of having a hard life from, you know, from material point of view and all the rest of it, achieved a huge amount for God, because he really went for God. And so I'm just going to do one or two points for reflection, and I'm going to hand back to Rich, which have come out of the things I said, I believe. Yeah, I was going to say he's buried with his wife at Bellevue Church, actually. Just, you can still go and see the memorial to him and his grave today at a place called Bellevue. But we're going to have a moment or two of, I don't leave Rich to however long, just, but I'll just plug these things up. For some of us, we might need to say, along with the psalmist, Lord, would you restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me in the hard times, to get through the joy. Some of us might need that. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. That is true, full stop. But thinking too of the kids that we want to see return to God. Adults know, probably most of them. Always pray. Do not give up. And, you know, I just reflected on how the church managed to divide, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Help answer the prayer of the Lord Jesus, Lord, that they may be one. If Rich upsets you, be at peace. I know he never would. I mean, and finally, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's another thing I could have brought. He was always on about the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. He was a great witness, but he did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we need to pray along those lines too. So that's my hero, Billy Bray. I hope there are some bits there that might have spoken to us and blessed us.